And if you aren't in a classroom or in a school, you don't believe some of the things that we see and hear and, you know, do.
Hey, what drew you to teaching? We're going to find out how you can be drawn to teaching even better next.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep.
First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no other.
All right, Scott, so I'm excited. We have a special guest on our show today. But first, before we get to that guest, why don't you let our listeners know about a very special idea that we have for everybody?
Yeah, you know, Tim, I wanted to thank Advancement Courses for sponsoring today's show. If they just stay tuned at the end of the show, they can learn how to save 20% on online professional development courses. So we're excited to bring Advancement Courses on as a sponsor of the show. And as always, we love the people over at Empatico. Visit bit.ly/buildglobalempathy. It's a nonprofit, so everything is free and it's going to be free forever. They're not going to start charging you to connect with other classes around the world and have your kids meet other kids and build empathy through that online connection piece.
Right on. All right. Well, without further ado, we'd like to introduce our special guest today, Josh Stumpenhurst. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Great. So you've got a new book in the works.
Yeah, actually just released March 8th, whatever day that was, a Friday, I think it was. Yeah, Drawn to Teach. Pretty excited about it, actually.
Awesome. So can you give us a quick synopsis, and then we'll get into some more of the details of it. Hey, there it is. Drawn, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick. I was inspired a couple years ago. I had read Dan Pink's Adventures of Johnny Bunko, which was a graphic novel, and I thought, nobody's done a graphic novel for teachers, and I have no artistic ability. So I found myself an artist, started creating these narratives, just looking at what drew us to teaching and some of the problems we often have, and just tried to sketch out some solutions for everybody and just had an absolute blast doing it.
How cool. And so, Josh, I mean, this isn't your first book, right?
No. This one hopefully will sell more than the first one, but the first one was The New Teacher Revolution. I won't name the publisher, you can figure that out, but they asked for a lot of research and a lot of that, you know, kind of nitty gritty stuff that a lot of education books look for. And this one, I just had free reign to really have my voice in it and really speak to teachers so that I hope when you read it, it's just like you're hanging out, having a drink with me and talking about the great stuff we do in the classroom.
Very cool. And so as you're going through the process of designing this book, because it is a graphic novel, but it's like a split graphic novel, if I understand right.
Yeah, so each chapter has, for example, chapter one is relationships, because I think all good teaching starts there. And so it's a 10 to 12 page graphic novel of a teacher in a classroom struggling to build relationships with kids. And then the second half of the chapter is kind of like a breakdown where we identify some of the problems they had and then look at some just real simple, real practical solutions that teachers can take into their classrooms. So that really it's something you could say, hey, I can do this tomorrow. I wanted to put a feature in there for administrators because I often give them a hard time. So each chapter even has some space for administrators to say, hey, here's some things you can do, you know, to support your teachers and your students in those areas.
I love that aspect because I feel like we can do as much PD with teachers, but if administrators don't know what to look for or how to coach, then it's not, I mean, that's a huge piece of like making sure things move forward.
Oh, for sure. And I think that, you know, I've been blessed in 16 years in a building of working for some really good ones. And yeah, you know, we'll say the other side as well. And when you have a good one, the support makes all the difference in the world.
So this almost sounds like it's a book video, like you're watching a video almost of some action in the classroom. And then the video freezes and you step out and you analyze what was taking place in the classroom. Am I understanding that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I wanted it to be just that. You're looking into a classroom, and I'm hoping that when people read it, they look at those teachers and say, hey, I've done that. I've been in that space. And all of the teachers in these books were based on either my own experiences, my colleagues' experiences, my own children, you know, their experiences with teachers, so that everybody looks at it and says, hey, that was me, or I can relate to that. And even the students, you know, we've got those really quiet kids that do everything you ask. We have the pain in the butts that don't do anything you ask, and everybody in between. So that I think everybody, like you said, you're watching a show about what we do every day. And then we stop and say, hey, here's how we can be better.
I just love that concept.
Yeah, it was absolutely so much fun. Just to the Trevor, the artist, was actually a guy that grew up down the street from me when I was 5 years old. Totally random, kind of reconnected via Facebook, and he's a talented artist. And we just had fun having conversations about stuff that, you know, we experienced as kids in school, and just, all right, what do we want teachers to do with those types of things? And it was just, man, it was just a ton of fun.
Josh, I'm having this weird deja vu. This story a little bit reminds me of Tim's story. He reconnected with an old friend, and they created some music out of that for education. I think it's really neat when you can do something like that, is reconnect. So the ideas in there, where did you get the ideas as far as what you wanted to address?
So I looked at, you know, and it's always that narcissistic author, right? Because every author that writes an education book thinks they have all the answers. And I'm very honest and upfront with saying, here are six things. There are six chapters in the book that I just said, I think these are the six things that we all struggle with and we all see great success with. Could there be seven? Could there be five? Oh, sure. I mean, I'm not naive. But those are the six things that I thought had the biggest impact on me in my career as a teacher. And that's kind of where we went. And then, of course, there was all those random things that I wanted to do. And one of the features we have, these pages, they're called It Will Happen or Freeze Frames. And it's those random things that happen in schools. And we've all done that. And we go home and tell somebody, and they're like, that didn't happen. And if you aren't in a classroom or in a school, you don't believe some of the things that we see and hear and, you know, do. And so I kind of slid some of those funny things in there that are just comic relief and just people going, you know what? That happened to me too. A kid did throw up on my shoes. You know, this does happen in schools. And I wanted to be able to laugh about it, but also recognize, you know, how do we handle those things? So it was just, I just wanted it to be real and authentic.
I love that you're throwing humor in, because Scott and I are definitely into humor. And it's nice.
We try to be funny.
Yeah, not everybody always thinks it's funny, but I think it's funny.
Well, at least you're trying to have fun, right? And many teacher books, I think we get a little too serious about what we're doing and takes out of it, you know?
And I was joking with somebody that was asking about the book, and I said, well, this sums it up. I don't know if you'll be able to see the picture. This is an actual picture of a student passing gas in a classroom. And this is one of our hard-hitting topics we're talking about, is the bodily functions that we experience as teachers. And somebody's like, you really put that in your book? And I go, yeah, it's part of being a teacher, the good, the bad, the funny, the serious. You know, we have suicide in here. We have farting. We have everything in between, because as teachers, we see every aspect of kids' lives, and you know, the good and the bad.
You know, we were just talking about farting today at lunch.
I just keep a can of aerosol spray. And just.
It's just, you know what? It's a thing. It's a thing.
So could you kind of showed us a little snippet there. Not that our podcast could see that, but it was a picture of a kid exploding in some gaseous material. And the teacher says, Salisbury steak again?
Right? That's exactly what he's saying.
So can you give us some other, you know, maybe one other example, a little teaser that's out of the book, to give our listeners an idea of what they would read about in there, the exact, you know, problem that you're addressing?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the best way to look at it is looking at the table of contents and what we're going to go through. And I tried to space it in an order that I thought was, you know, in order of importance in terms of a teacher's life. And I think we went through relationships, which is the cornerstone of everything we do. And then the second chapter goes into what I think I hear a lot out of teachers is, so many teachers that get burned out, it's not the teaching, it's everything else. It's administration, it's testing, it's standards, it's all these other things. And so chapter two is refocusing on why we teach and teaching what matters. And then we move into, because I think once we get our sense of what we do, we got to learn about motivation and innovation. And those are my two next chapters of, there's a lot of stuff we teach kids that even the back of my head as a social studies guy, they're never going to need again outside of the bar trivia night on Thursday night. So how do we, you know, how do we motivate kids? And then also that whole innovation piece. And then it leads into technology and professional growth. And I really look at it from that perspective of, we have to be solid in why we came into the profession, and then end with the professional growth of, there's people doing what we're doing that are better than us. We need to find them, learn from them. But there's also people that can learn from us. Because I think sometimes teachers lack that confidence. They don't think that anybody can learn from them. I'm a first-year teacher or, you know, whatever it is. And I just think that everybody can be, you know, helpful to everybody. So that's kind of the progression of the book. But every chapter, you're going to see a problem. You're going to see solutions. You're going to see resources. And you're going to see specific things in every chapter, a bullet list that says, tomorrow, here are three things you could do in your classroom to help with this area.
Yeah, and I think
resources too.
In there. Yeah, there's resources. Yeah, because I didn't want it to be a resource heavy book, but I also don't want somebody reading this and going, "Who does this guy think he is?" I wanted at least to have some justification behind some of these ideas that somebody, you know, that's an expert can support what we're saying here.
And it sounds like a book that would be great for a staff to almost go through together.
Yeah, well, and that was part of the impetus of the format is I've sat through, you know, so many book studies, and I think to myself, these are terrible. These books are dry. There's no connection and authenticity. And so I wanted it. That is one of the reasons I made this book. And the way I created the ending of each book is, or the ending of each chapter, is things to do tomorrow in your classroom, questions to dive deeper, and that administrator piece so that literally you could take this and make it a book club book for a staff. And that is, I mean, I hope the teachers would do that because I think it'd be perfect for it. But of course, I'm super biased about that.
Now, I know that you've got some awesome ideas, but I'm just curious, besides collaborating with the artist, did you collaborate with any other educators and have them look at the problems and brainstorm ideas or anything like that? Was that going on behind the scenes?
Yep, for sure. Every chapter, you're going to hear from people, not just me. Every chapter I got a lot of administrators to give feedback in there. So Dwight Carter, Amber Thiemann, like I pulled people that I know are doing great work. I have luckily, thankfully, a great network of not only through Twitter, but the National Network of State Teachers of the Year, which I'm a part of. So I was able to reach from some of the very best in the profession and pull in some anecdotes from them, some folks through ASED. So I've just, yes, it's not just me babbling at you about what you should do. I'm going to tell you what I think you should do, but then I'm going to have other people say it probably more eloquently than I could and what their context is. Because I think one of the problems we have with books is they're written very one-sided and very much this is the way it should be. But I hope people walk away from my book is there's a lot of different ways to do these things. And what works in my school may not work in your school because there's so much about culture and environment and context that we sometimes lose in a lot of these books. But I hope that what this does to you is says, all right, I can do something. I can change something. One thing today, one thing tomorrow. And that's kind of the goal of it.
It sounds like a book you could almost read out of order, too. Is that?
Yeah, for sure. Each chapter is its own. I mean, you could be viewed, if I were putting this in the library, it'd be a story collection. So each chapter is independent. We wouldn't have to read it in order. Some of the characters show up throughout because we had fun with the characters we put in the book. But yeah, it could definitely be done non-sequentially.
So, Josh, be honest. Are any of the characters in the book some of your friends in the education world?
Yes and no.
Inspired, at least?
Yes. There's at least a character, even one on the cover, that's inspired by a dear friend of mine. And I told her this, Pernille Rip. She's on the cover. And the other three characters on the cover that are teachers are inspired by. One's a former student of mine that was just a powerful kid. And a bunch of other characters throughout are all the teachers are based on either my colleagues and friends, my son's good and not so good teachers that I wanted to put in the book. So yeah, there's a story behind every character.
Gotcha. I figured so much.
Totally. Now, what haven't we asked you about the book yet that we should be asking you?
I don't know. I really, you know, I mean, I'm biased, right? I just think it's a great book. I think it's something that any teacher can take, no matter where they're at in their career, and do something with it tomorrow. And, you know, a good friend of mine that I work with, and she's very skeptical of all of anything, right? Anything new or whatever. And she read the book and just said that it was important. It was something that she could see value in because it was to the point. It was simple. It gave actions. It gave something we can do. So I just hope people really look at it because I think sometimes graphic novels get a bad rap and I hope this can kind of break that mold because I just think it's so different and accessible. Everybody could use it.
Now, so if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you about something besides the book.
awesome. What do you want to talk about?
I know that for Scott and me, we both probably get this feeling sometimes like we're one trick ponies. You know, if we go on a podcast and we're talking about Global School Play Day, like the only thing we know about is play or something like that, right? You know,
that's not a bad thing to know a lot of.
No, but you know, it's like, I've got these other ideas that I got going, and I'm passionate about this thing over here.
Or you get labeled as like the tech guy, and oh, I can't do that because you do the tech thing, and I don't do that.
We get labeled, right? We get cornered. We get put in a box. So I'm sure that you've got some great stuff that's going on in your life and education that you're passionate about right now, that you're excited about, that has nothing to do with this book. And I want our listeners to get to know you as an educator as well and as a human being. So just tell us about something else that you're excited about with teaching or, you know, in sports or whatever you want to talk about, you know?
Yeah. Well, first of
Mike Trout, we're open to talking about Mike Trout right now.
Yeah. I'm 100% Cubland up here in the Chicago. Well, sports. Oh, my gosh. This is my favorite time of year. It's March Madness. I'm a gigantic college basketball fan. And I actually, in my library, so I taught 13 years as a sixth grade history and English. And for the last three, I'm a learning commons director, which is fancy way of saying librarian, but I have, you know, a makerspace. I have all this crazy stuff. So this week, it's probably my favorite week of the school year. So I do March Madness in the library. So we have games. We have, four of those retro pies. You ever seen the Raspberry Pis? Yeah. So we have the old NBA Jam games. We have all these kids coming and playing NBA Jam at lunch. And they are it's hilarious because they're used to playing NBA 2K or, you know, all this new stuff. And they come and they're like, wait a minute, there's only two buttons? Well, you got turbo, that's it. And then tomorrow when the actual games start, we'll be streaming all the games in the library so kids can come in and just watch the games. Nice. So, yeah, I just have the best gig in the world.
It doesn't sound too bad, that's for sure.
No. And in the background, 3D printers are printing. I mean, it's not a bad way to spend a day.
Hey, give us a tip on 3D printers.
Oh, man. Everybody's got an opinion, and they're all wrong. I'll just say that. Because when I started this, I said, hey, what's a good printer? And everybody tells you this printer, that printer, that printer, and they all have really great things and terrible things. I would say the best piece of advice about 3D printing is just print anything a kid wants you to print. Because the excitement they get when they can hold something. I mean, I get so many random. I got a kid that's printing. You guys know what Beyblades are? Those little tops to kids. That was new to me. This kid's probably printed 15 of them. He's an eighth grader. He's absolutely obsessed with it. And it's what gets him to get his math homework done so he can come and print. Let him print. Just print stuff. Kids love it. So much fun.
I think I bought one off him on eBay.
Yeah. He's a very entrepreneurial young man.
So tell us a little bit more about your job. I'm curious about that. Like you, you know, what are you doing? You're not just checking out books, obviously.
No. So our district is fantastic. Naperville 203. 3 years ago when I got hired, they went through a transition away from libraries in a traditional sense. And they rebranded the whole space, the names, everything. Because you know how it is. If you don't change the title and the name, nothing changes. So we're learning commons. So my library, we have a library space, but I've got a wood milling machine. I've got 3D printers. I just actually got a grant for laser that'll be coming in the spring or in the fall. We have a t-shirt press. We're cutting on our Silhouette Cricut machine. You know, I mean, anything a kid comes in and says, hey, can we do this? I do anything I can to find funding to do it. I mean, we just have a blast. And it's all about creating a space where kids want to be. And the funny thing is a lot of people say, oh, if you create a makerspace, do you really need a library? And kids aren't going to read books. They're just going to come down and, you know, 3D print. And since we've done this and had this transition, actually our circulation is up. I mean, I cut 7,000 books from our library and our circulation went up because kids want to be there and they come and see me and I'm saying, hey, let's go 3D print this. But while you're waiting, why don't you get this book? It's really cool. And it's just this beautiful kind of relationship we have going.
So wait, can I ask you about the laser?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Reading is great. Yeah. Is it a Glowforge? Because I just got rejected on the grant for that. Oh my God.
And I don't know anything about lasers. It's kind of like when we got the 3D printer, we got a MakerBot. And I go, what do I do with this? I don't even know how to use it.
I'll connect you with someone that's using it and doing crazy cool stuff.
My older brother was on their like pre-orders before they'd even released it. He'd waited for like a year and he has one. And I just see the stuff he does. And I think to myself, I need one of these. I don't know why I need one, but I need one.
Exactly. That's so cool.
Wow. Yeah, it's exciting. Wow.
Now, how does that work? Do the kids have a scheduled time that they come in, or do they just drop it when they feel like it?
So like in the elementary world, they get special time. And in junior high, they don't. So kids come in, they'll eat their lunch in 7.5 minutes and then run to the library to play. study halls, kids will come in. I'll do a lot of partnering with our science and math teachers. So they'll come in and do a project. We'll get the spheros out, and they're doing linear equations with robots. So I do just a little bit of everything. And then we also have a science club that meets before school on Tuesdays. And the kids come in, and we just tell them, what do you want to do today? And they just go wild with it. It's funny how when you create a space, kids will find time to be in it and get out of class. You know, I have kids sending me 3D printer files when I know they're in the middle of their language arts class and they're supposed to be paying attention, but I know that they're not. So it's just, yeah, we just create this environment and we do it whenever we can and steal them from wherever we can.
Awesome. Well, Josh, you are so interesting to talk to, and we could pick your brain all day long, but we're going to have to switch gears now. Speaking of interesting, you have a very interesting last name.
I do.
Yeah. Did I say it right?
You were pretty close. It's the O. I think you said Hurst. It's a stump in Horst, and kids call me a horse. I had a coat of honor, a coat of arms kid made back in a couple of years ago with a horses stumping. It was, yeah, I get a lot of it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you've heard it all, but today we're going to play a game with you.
Okay.
Where we're going to try to stump you.
All right.
With some tree stump riddles.
Oh, boy.
So I know you probably think we're joshing about this. But we're actually going to do that. And we're going to start some jokes with you about tree stumps. And it's up to you to finish the joke.
Oh, boy.
I'm Googling. And we're calling our little game today Stumpin' Josh.
I love it.
Scott, tell our audience who Josh will be competing for today.
Josh, you're going to be competing for Nikita Reddy, a fourth grade teacher in Southern California. If you're able to finish two out of the three riddles correctly, you'll be awarded a free download of an album by the ridiculously popular edgy rock band, Rockin'. Standards.
Well, not Josh. Josh won't get it.
Did I say Josh? I'm sorry. Yeah, Somebody came in the door. I apologize.
Okay.
Nikita will be winning that.
Yeah, that's right. So, Josh, here we go with your first riddle. We're going to give you the riddle. You have to tell what the punchline is.
Oh, boy. All right.
Good luck with that one. Okay. So I'll do the first one. Scott, you could do the next one. Is that good?
That sounds fantastic.
How do tree stumps access websites?
Oh, boy. There's got to be something with roots in there, but I don't know. Tree stumps access websites.
Or trees. Think trees. Think how you get into a website.
That you have to do something first to get into it.
I'm thinking type the URL. Nothing's ringing a bell with a tree.
Once you type the URL,
then you have to
put into
the website. Like your username, your password, and then you have to
hit enter. Nikita's not going to be very happy with me. I am terrible at this game.
Well, should we give him the answer, Scott?
How do tree stumps access websites, Tim?
Well, they have to log on.
Oh man. Oh, jeez.
See how bad these are?
These are great dad jokes. I apparently am not very good at them. I should have read more Laffy Taffy rappers as a kid.
All right, Scott.
All right, Josh. Think trees here. What did the tree stump do when its bank closed down?
I'm not very good at charades either. man.
It's a podcast.
When the bank shut down.
Yeah. So the tree stump had to not go to its own bank anymore. It had to open
a new branch.
Oh, we got
yes.
It.
All right.
Yes.
These are hard.
That was good.
you had to open another branch. Okay. All right, your last, maybe, I don't know, we'll try another one if this one doesn't work.
Are we now calling this, like, dad jokes? Like,
yeah, we should be.
I think we've gone full-blown dad jokes at this point.
Stump it, Josh, though. Okay. you'll be able to get this one.
Oh, don't say that.
The stump of what kind of tree fits in your hand?
Wait, what was it?
The stump of what kind of a tree?
Oh, palm tree.
Hey! Palm tree. You got it. All right. So, Scott, how did Josh do today on Stumpin' Josh?
Josh, good job. You got 2 out of 3 correctly, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Woo!
Congratulations. You won absolutely nothing. But Nikita, she just got a free download of a ridiculously popular rock band, Rockin' the Standards.
And tell her, because I'm so bad, if she's on Twitter, tell her to tweet me, and I will send her a copy of my book as well. How about that? Because I did so bad.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome.
I'm happy to do that. Tell her to reach out to me, Stump Teacher, and I will get a hold of her, and she will get a copy of my book.
Josh, that is awesome. Thanks so much, Josh. Hey, can
you're welcome.
Can you give our listeners more information about how to get a hold of you and your book? And you said your Twitter handle, so if you want to repeat that again.
Yeah, so Twitter, Stump Teacher. Instagram, Maker Librarian 1, because somebody already had Maker Librarian. And my website is joshstumpenhorst.com. With a last name like Stumpenhorst, I'm pretty easy to track down. The only other Stumpenhorst with a strong presence is my younger brother who builds barns. And believe it or not, he's got like 200,000 followers on his YouTube. He's pretty nuts, but that's not me. If you got a barn builder, you got the wrong Stumpenhorst.
Well, he's coming on our show next week, so.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
You're probably better with the dad jokes, by the way.
So thanks, sir. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. We hope you can go to iTunes and give us a review. And don't forget to go to globalschoolplayday.com and sign up for Global School Play Day. It's the first Wednesday in February every single year where we celebrate unstructured play. And before we let you go, we want to have this word from our awesome sponsors.
Hey, Tim, you can start planning your summer professional development with Advancement Courses. They offer over 200 online graduate level PD courses in 19 different subject areas for K-12 teachers just like you and I. And because they're online and self-paced, you can take them anywhere, anytime, with up to 6 months to complete them, Tim. The courses are available for graduate credit through CAEP and regional accredited university partners, or for continuing education units that meet your state requirements.
That's right, Scott. They're a terrific way to get your summer PD done. And the courses really focus on creating practical products you can use in your classroom the next day. Right now, our listeners, the listeners of the Bedley Brothers, can save 20% off of each course using this code, BROS20, BROS20. That's just $120 per graduate credit hour, or $160 for 50 clock hours. So go to advancementcourses.com/Bedley. That's advancementcourses.com/Bedley to learn more and to use the coupon code BROS20. Get started on your summer PD today. That's awesome, isn't it, Scott?
Oh, man, you're not going to regret that. That's money in the bank. That's a perfect investment.
Well done. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Scott.
And hey, Tim. Yeah. Almost. We're going to go for 1 million kids, by the way, Global School Play Day, right?
1 million kids, definitely.
Had over 500,000 this last year from 72 countries. It's so crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. So thanks for listening, everybody. But most of all, thanks for listening.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
2013. Getting her done. Big Ron here. Done. I think I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley brothers. Yeah. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers.